The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Have you ever been dragged all the way into work for a rather pointless meeting that only lasted 10 minutes? Have you ever spent ages reading and responding to emails and messages from colleagues when you would have preferred a simple phone call? Well, these are just some of the confusing scenarios faced by employees in the area of hybrid working. And now to discuss when you should hold an in-person meeting, when to pick up the phone, when to send an email to a colleague or an Instagram or any such digital communication, I'm joined in studio by Terry Prone, chairperson of the Communications Clinic. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
It's a minefield.
It is, because it varies from company to company. You have some companies who have said, OK, you could stay home and work at home for most of the week, but maybe it'd come in on a Wednesday so that we can all be there for one day.
And look at each other.
And, well, no, bond, Pat, bond. And then there are other companies which allow you to be off for 2 or 3 days. And that means that there may never be a single day when everybody is present. So hybrid working is causing pretty major communications problems.
Now, that business of you go back and forward either with WhatsApp messages or emails or texts, you know, some people still use text a bit, when pick up the phone. And you get sorted in a matter of minutes. Sometimes I wonder if the people are sending the emails so they have a record of what has occurred.
You are not paranoid, Pat, but you're pretty close to it. The thing, you're hitting on the essential rule of office communication, whether or not we're in a hybrid situation. And that is, you need to work out first the person that you're communicating with. Let's say it's Pat Kenny. Work out his favourite platform. If his favourite platform is the phone, then pick up the phone to him. You would be rare these days, I have to say, I have always hated the phone. And a huge number of today's generation will not use the phone and find it, the minute the phone rings, it's so unusual to them that it gives them an attack of panic the minute they hear the noise. So the first thing is you work out what the people or person that you want to deal with prefers.
But is it generational? I mean, is the digital native more likely to use digital platforms than the old-fashioned vocal telephone?
Recent surveys would say that, that we can talk till we're blue in the face about the immediacy and intimacy of a telephone call. But a younger generation simply prefer WhatsApp or email.
See, suppose you're meeting someone in the pub for the match, right? And you WhatsApp them or text them or whatever, and you say, I'll see you at 6:45, and you get back, well, I can't make 6:45, how about 8:45? And you go back, no, I can't do 8:45, 7:45, because, and I've got to pick up somebody in the car, and pick up the phone, 6:45, no, I can't do that, 8:45, okay, let's say 7:30, yeah, grand, thank you, click. See, I use the phone efficiently, I don't go on and on.
Pat,
and on
we never doubted that you would use the phone efficiently.
But you know what I mean? It's there to do a job. It's not there for endless chats.
Yeah, and I would have a large number of clients who would also say to me, why the hell would I WhatsApp somebody when I can text them? They have never seen the advantage to WhatsApp. The rule is simply go where the people that you need to reach are.
Now, you can do the voice notes on WhatsApp, which can be endless. As someone said to me this morning, it's not so much a WhatsApp, more a podcast.
And that thing of using, putting in extra notes, it's something that happens sometimes on meetings on WebEx or Teams or one of those platforms where your chairperson is trying to cope these days with maybe 5 live humans in a room plus 5 not live humans on online.
5 avatars online.
Exactly.
But they're there on the screen. Everyone can hear them and see them.
And they're doing pretty well, the chair. except that somebody then decides to start typing in extra messages. And that, if you think about it, is yet another stream of information that they have to cope with. So that's three simultaneous streams. It can be quite difficult for a chairperson. One of the things that I have discovered in watching clients doing hybrid meetings is that, first of all, they don't realise that they should have all of the humans, the real live humans, on that side of the table where they can see each one of them, not on the same side of the table as they would normally, beside themselves. And secondly, the screen that has the avatars, as you call them, should also be directly in front of them. And that means that they can have some kind of control. But you also need to agree rules, which is that, for example, if the little hands up sign is too small on a reasonably small screen, you need people to put up their own human hands and indicate, I really want to get in at this
jazz
point.
Hands. Jazz hands. Okay, now the questions are coming in thick and fast. My boss sends emails after work. I feel pressure how to respond. Do I tell him not to send them after work hours, or should I just leave them until I am on the clock the following day?
My instinct would be to leave them until the person is on the clock. However, this depends on what kind of a company it is. If it's any kind of a large company, that is to say more than 20 people, the company should have a policy which takes care of their people's well-being and precludes them getting
emails. So employees should push the employer to have a policy before they reach the sharp end of a disagreement.
Precisely, because then it is for the good of all. Whereas if this person goes to the boss and says, I really prefer if you don't, it's just them, and they can make an exception out of themselves, which they shouldn't have to do.
How do I ask my colleagues just to get the job done and not send multiple questions when asked to do a task?
This person is going to really hate me. The first thing that you need to do is brief comprehensively and well and understand the intelligence level of the person that you're briefing.
So in other words, it's kind of get the tea bag out of the press, retrieve a cup from the cupboard, add boiling water, stir well.
No, Pat, really seriously. Can I give you a classic example? About 40 years ago, I had a young assistant, and by young, I mean she was 17, and we were doing a promotion in London, and I said, do this, this, and this. And she looked at me very blankly, and I said, at reception? And she said, what's reception? And I said, I beg your pardon. And she said, I've never been in a hotel. Now, I don't think that would be possible now, but it was a failure of imagination on my part that I didn't realise, okay, I need to say, okay, first time you've been in a hotel, this. Similarly, if you are briefing somebody to do something complex, you should work out in advance, what are the things that would really annoy me if they don't get right? Tell it to them and then go back and say, now listen, I want to check. What was the first? Okay, we're good. Right. Because sometimes people just lash out a whole lot of complexity and then get irritated with the recipient because they haven't worked out how to do the complex thing.
When should you send an email over a Teams chat? So the Teams chat you're talking about, and you were talking about people adding things, but sending an email when the Teams chat is underway.
I would send an email when I want to clarify with one single person what I want done.
Will you tell your woman to shut up?
Oh, and please, folks. That's one of the things that people end up in my company in crisis because they don't do the simple thing of rereading their text or their WhatsApp message or their email before they send it. And they send something god-awful. I had one friend, who is a friend rather than a client, who sent, as she thought, her best friend a message saying, my mother is being totally psycho. And of course, she sent it to the mother. Now, fortunately, the mother had a sense of humour. But you need to be really, really careful because you can send things that'll get you sued.
Well, you know what they say these days. Oh, mother, I'm sorry, I've been hacked. Anyway, how do you get your employees to talk rather than send emails for everything or use Teams? Talk to each other.
By starting yourself, by being available in the office, by talking to people and by reinforcing the thing. God, isn't it just wonderful when we can all get together and I can see your face and I can realise, as I do, Pat, you have a problem with that particular issue. And people begin to realise, gosh, there is an added value in having people together, and you spot more and you see more and you can enjoy the extra stuff. It's one of the things about, by the way, Teams meetings or WebEx meetings where people choose not to have their camera on. You need to think about that if you're going into a meeting, because it says to the other people present, I don't care about you. I don't care if you can see my face or not. It doesn't matter to me what perception you're getting.
I'm staying. My pajamas are dirty.
If I had pajamas.
There are people, though, who just won't switch on the camera because they don't feel they're cosmetically ready, shall we say,
for the
camera.
But it's poor communication because they're not obeying the basic rule of starting with the other person.
My colleague, who's also a close friend, has gotten a promotion. She's now my line manager. Any guidance on how to manage that friend-stroke-manager relationship?
This, I suspect, and I'm going to be very sexist here, I suspect that this is a female writing about another female, because in my experience, it doesn't happen with men. Men just go to the pub, are abusive with each other, slag each other off, and then get on with it. Women get worried about, will I be taken seriously? Will I be able to confide? The answer is, be as formal as you can. Don't start the thing of, well, I'll stay as intimate as we were. No, get your boss to say, listen, you don't have to do X and Y. Come on, we're friends. Get her to say it or him to say it rather than you presume it.
Yeah, it depends how much socialising they're doing as well. I mean, if you're dealing with a politician in public, you might say minister, welcome, but you might call them by their first name if you meet them informally.
I've been a ministerial advisor for 50 years and I have never used a first name of a minister in front of anybody else.
Another one. I have to give a presentation to my manager next week. Can Terry give me advice on presentation while using PowerPoint? I'm all stressed up thinking about it, you know, talking and moving on slides simultaneously. What was the old thing about and chewing gum at the same time?
I have such sympathy for this person, because first of all, you shouldn't have to use PowerPoint. But I am assuming that the culture in your company insists on you using PowerPoint. PowerPoint was invented directly by Satan. However, the first thing that you need to do is to walk around a room on your own and work out, what do I need my boss to remember after this presentation? Secondly, what do I need him or her to do after the presentation? Write down those two things and then work out, what are the examples, what's the evidence, what's the illustrations that will get your boss from where they are right now to where you want them to be. Walk around a room on your own again, going through those points again and again and again, and only then do PowerPoint slides, because then you will be creating PowerPoint slides that'll make sense to them, but will also serve just as a reminder to you rather than something you're bloody well going to read off the screen.
Because I read much faster than the speaker ever speaks.
Exactly.
So I'm ahead and I get bored. So it should only be an aid memoir rather than what you're exactly saying. How do I tell people to stop sending silly chats and just keep it to work? That's one. And the final one, my boss has us all on a WhatsApp group and we have to contribute to all the chats all evening long. It never ends and we all feel obliged to keep up to date on it. Please, please tell me how to put an end to it. So two questions.
We'll just all get together. First of all, collective action is a great thing. Gather a few pals together and say, OK, has the company got a policy about this? If it doesn't, how about we draft one? Or how about we say to head the ball, the boss, would you like us to draft a policy? Because, you know, companies get into awful trouble about X and Y. He or she is likely to say, God, bloody great, go for it. And then you can come back with a policy that says, It is not agreed that people should send each other sexual jokes, male-female jokes, jokes about gay people, any of that sort of stuff.
Unfunny jokes.
and the sort of litmus test for an unfunny joke is that it is the kind of joke that you get in a Christmas cracker. Mm.
Finally, I have to check your wokeness. Are you still the chairman? Do you prefer chairman, or are we to go back to chairperson of the communications clinic?
I much prefer chairman for the same reason that I don't approve of people who think, oh, you have to say actress. If I met a lion in the jungle, I wouldn't care if it was a male or female lion. I'd be thinking, lion.
Let me out of here.
Chairman.
All right. Chairman of the Communications Clinic, Terry Prone, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have for you today. A reminder that our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.